Genesis chapter number 2, as we begin this series entitled Exceed. Don't just meet your spouse's needs, exceed them. And I'm excited about this first lesson that I've entitled Exceeding Your Spouse's Expectations by Meeting God's. You know, if we'll just meet God's expectations of who we're supposed to be as a husband and a wife, we will exceed our spouse's expectations and in the meeting of their needs. So what are God's expectations? Well, let's look in Genesis 2 at the first mention of marriage. Now, notice in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And all the men in the room said, amen to that. It's not good that we should be alone. For sake of time, drop down to verse number 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now here's the first mention of marriage in the Bible. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now there's a lot of different views on creation out there today. And many women believe that God made man, looked at him, and then said, "I could do a little better," and then made women. A lot of men look at creation and say that God made all the beasts, and God made man, and then he rested. After a while, God created woman. Neither beast or man has ever rested since. And I don't know what your take on creation is, but God created man, God created woman, and God created the holy estate of matrimony. One author was asked how he and his bride had made it 40 years in a successful and a happy marriage. And he said, "Well, one of the secrets is that 2 times a week, we go to a little restaurant in town, candlelight, dinner, soft music, some quality companionship. She usually goes on Tuesdays and I go on Fridays." And that's not exactly what we're looking for in this series. We want to make sure we learn how do we exceed the needs of our spouse. And that's what our purpose is as we gather together this morning and launch into this study over the next several weeks. How can we discover, learn to meet, and then exceed in meeting the most important needs of our spouse? When a man and woman marry, there is a built-in set of high expectations that all of the needs that they have will be met in the marriage relationship. In fact, there is an agreement that exclusively these needs will only be met by one another as they forsake all others. Now, I want us to understand something by way of introduction as we begin this series. This does not mean that every need we have was intended by God to be met by our spouse. There's not a spouse alive who can meet every need of their spouse. That's not the way that God designed it. In fact, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It is only God who can meet our every need. And if I'm expecting of my wife, Susanna, to meet every need in my life, or if she's expecting of me to meet every need in her life, it's not going to go well for us, because there are some needs that God has given to us that he intended for him to meet. And so we have to have a relationship with God. We have to trust that he will meet our needs and then understand what need does our spouse have and how can we exceed in meeting that. And there are a few basic needs that all of us, I think, would agree that those needs need to be met within the marriage relationship. We expect them from our spouse. We vowed to meet them in the life of our spouse, and we also have promised not to allow anyone else to meet those needs in our life but the person in whom we married. And when you first got married, you assumed these needs would be met, that it would all go according to plan and everything would just kind of happen automatically. But you discover as you spend time together as a husband and wife that you've got to be intentional about this. It doesn't just happen automatically. We have to decide to meet these needs, and then we have to put forth an effort to meet these needs and to do so abundantly. And you know, when we try to meet our spouse's needs because of our own flesh and carnality and sometimes our selfishness, we try to meet the needs that we really value. And we feel like if these needs are met, then everything is going to be great because we value those. But we all understand that the needs of men and women are very different. And sometimes we can waste a lot of time and effort trying to meet needs, but they're the wrong needs. And the relationship is not being strengthened. In fact, quite frankly, we can fail to satisfy one another if we don't know what it is we're doing. So, what do we have to understand about these needs so that we can exceed in meeting them? And that's the question I want to answer in this introductory lesson of this new series. So notice with me in our study this morning, number one, your spouse is unique. You say, Brother Roel, you got me all the way here for this new series to tell me that? I mean, I was expecting something a lot deeper than that. Now, hang on. I want to teach you something here that I want to make sure we thoroughly understand as we launch into this journey together. Often the failure of husbands and wives to truly meet each other's needs is simply due to ignorance. We don't know what we're doing. We're trying. We want to do better. We have a desire to do that, which is right, but it's just not clicking. The Bible said in Genesis 1, verse 26, there in your notes, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's the life verse of every fisherman and hunter, and so on. Verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created every person in this room. Every man and every woman. Everyone underneath the sound of my voice this morning is a one of a kind made by God. And everyone in this room needs to recognize that your spouse is unique, created by God, one of a kind, special. Everyone in this room has to have that basic biblical understanding. And because of that, first of all, letter A, we must be determined to grow. Because of the fact that our spouse is unique, because of the fact that God created them special, because of the fact that they're going to have needs that only they may have, we have to be determined to grow. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. God says, I want you to grow in your knowledge. Nobody ever stands at a marriage altar holding the hands of their spouse saying, I do, knowing everything they need to know going into marriage. That's never happened because nobody in this room right now knows everything they need to know about marriage. We're all learning. We're all on a journey. We're all improving and progressing day by day to be the Christian that God wants us to be, and the husband and the wife as well. And so we have to be determined to grow. When we don't know what the needs of our spouse are, then our efforts are both frustrating to them and to us. And I think there might be some in this room this morning that you're coming here as part of this series and you're saying, Gabe, I'm trying. I'm putting forth an effort. I want our marriage to be great. And I am doing my part. But the truth of the matter is, the product of that is they're frustrated and I'm frustrated. And I would just submit to you this morning that there may not be an understanding of these needs. Because sometimes when we don't understand them, we don't see them the way that they truly are. Even though there's an effort there, it's producing nothing but frustration. And this sort of behavior of the effort, but it's not in the right place, or meeting a need, but it's not valued by our spouse, and we're doing what we can, but it's not accomplishing what we want, and it leaves us feeling very self-defeated, and it's destructive in our relationship. And I certainly don't want anyone to raise their hand, but there might be many that would say, we've been there in a season like that. It wasn't going the way that we thought it would go. The priorities of men's needs are very different than women's needs. And each spouse has to take the time to discover and recognize that the most important needs in their life may not be that high of a priority for their spouse. And that the most important needs of their spouse may be low on their priority scale. And amazingly, people think when they go into marriage that they're just going to figure this out by intuition. They're going to say, I do. They're going to share the same address. And it's all just going to kind of work its way out. You know what I would tell you after 16 years of family ministry? It doesn't. It doesn't just work out. It doesn't just kind of happen. It doesn't just come together and voila, there's the perfect marriage and home. You know what I've discovered in a short time of working with families? This is only going to happen through a process of communication, discovery, and application. And that's the journey we're going on in this brand new series of Exceed. And we must desire to grow. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage every husband and every wife. And I want to say to you this morning, great job for being here. And then I want to say to you, every week when you come, and it should be every week of this series, bring a sincere desire to grow. I don't want to be the same husband I was yesterday or last week. I want to be the same wife that I was before. I want to be better. I want to grow. I love the quote by David Arp. Marriage is a journey, not a destination, and no one ever arrives. No one ever arrives. I'm never going to get to the point where I wake up and say, I don't have to work on anything else. I have now arrived at perfection at being a husband. That's not going to happen. And if you doubt it, ask my wife. She'll second that for sure. That's not going to happen. There's always more to learn. There's always more to work at. It's a journey, not a destination. And we have to desire to grow. But then secondly, letter B, we must determine not to be selfish. Don't be selfish. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, we know that there is a disparity between the men and the women in regard to the priority of their needs. One of the things we're going to learn through this series is, listen, God has created us uniquely. God has given us needs uniquely. They're not the same. And the priority in which we attach them is totally different. And so because of that, if we're not careful, we can look at our spouse with almost disdain for the needs they have. We kind of look at them and be like, what is your problem? Why is that such a big deal to you? I could kind of take that or leave it. Because their need is different than our need. And if we're not careful, we can almost look at it critically. Like, because you have this need that I don't have or that I don't have as a high of a priority as you do, that then there must be something wrong with you. I just want to tell you in love, that's ignorance. We have to learn to look at our spouse and say, wow, this is a one of a kind made by God. And there are needs here that I need to grow and learn about. And then I need to refuse to be selfish. I cannot devalue a need of my spouse just because I don't share that same need or that it's not as high of a priority for me. I have to refuse to put my needs aside. In other words, we're not coming into this series so that at the end of the series, all of our needs are met. They've all been exceeded, in fact. Good job, Brother Rule. Mission accomplished. That's not where I'm going. Here's where I'm going. Where I'm going with this series is that at the end of this series, it could be said of you that you are exceeding in meeting the needs of your spouse. And what I'm telling you by way of introduction is one of the secrets to accomplishing that is abandoning your own needs. Not even worrying about what it is you need, but rather focusing on the needs of your spouse and just determining, it's not going to be about me. I'm not going to be selfish in this. I'm going to be looking for what I can do in proving that. Because by human nature, sometimes we're just very selfish. It's like the mom who was heading to McDonald's with her 5-year-old son one day, and they drove by an automobile accident. And it had been her practice to teach the kids when they go by and witness something like that to pause and to pray for those that had been involved in the accident. So she saw that and she looked back at her son and she said, sweetheart, do you want to pray for those in the accident? And he looked up and saw what she saw. And then she heard from the back seat his prayer, please God, don't let these cars block the entrance into the McDonald's. And he had one thing on his mind, and that was that Happy Meal. And you know what? Sometimes in marriage, we have one thing on our mind, and it's what we need or it's what we want. And if anything or anything else might happen, we don't care. It's just about that. But we've got to learn, if we're going to exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse, one of the steps in that is going to be to back off the awareness and the attention of our own needs and not to be selfish, but to live for our spouse. And the husband and wife who commit themselves to meeting each other's most important needs will lay a foundation for a happy marriage and a deep marriage and a strong and satisfying relationship. And I would submit to us this morning that we all have to follow the example of Christ. The Bible says in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And can I give you a quick note as we're talking about this morning? You and I cannot do something nice for our spouse to make up for something else we were supposed to do. When you stood at a wedding altar and you said, I do, you vowed to meet some needs. And I want to make sure we all have clarity that we cannot live in ignorance of that responsibility and then make up for it with overtime and make up with it with this gift or this thing or this gesture. I think it's great to do nice things for your spouse. We'll talk about that in this series. But I just want to make sure we're on the same page that we cannot do something nice for our spouse in order to make up for something we were supposed to do anyway. What we're supposed to do needs to be a daily part of our life. And we want to make sure that we're pleasing the Lord in that endeavor. So our spouse is unique in our study this morning, number two. So we need to determine to be an expert. And that's my prayer, is that everyone in this room this morning would have an understanding. God has given me a unique spouse, a one of a kind created by Him. And so I need to understand and grow. I need not to be selfish and just be self-centered and think about me. And because of that, I need to determine to be an expert. I need to be passionately pursuing, exceeding in meeting the needs of my spouse. The Bible reminds you in Ephesians 5:33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, speaking to the husbands, and the wife see that she reverenced her husband. These needs of love and reverence and many needs that we'll uncover through this series, we want to be determined to be an expert in meeting these needs and exceeding in that process. Now, what's going to motivate you and I to want to do that? Letter A, understand your spouse is God's gift to you. The person you sit next to in this room, and some of you are here alone because maybe your spouse is sick or working, or maybe they just didn't come this morning. And I want to encourage you, keep coming, because I'm convinced that if you'll live out what I'm teaching, it will ignite a desire in your spouse to want to be here next to you. And I want to remind you that your spouse is God's gift to you. The Bible reminds you and I in Matthew 19 that the man leaves his father and mother and that they are no more twain but one flesh, and what God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Boy, this is God's gift to you. Your spouse is God's precious gift. And on your wedding day and you reflect back to that special time, your spouse was perfect. And since then, you've discovered a weakness or two. It's been said that that marriage is sometimes a reality check. It's like the couple who had just gotten married and they were off on their honeymoon and preparing to enjoy that time together. And they got to the hotel and it was going to be their first night together. And they were getting out of the car and she said, honey, I'm just kind of nervous and I just kind of feel weird. I mean, we're going to walk into a hotel and we're married now and we get to be together and everything. And I just don't want everyone to look at us and think, oh, there's some honeymooners. Could we just act like we've been married for a while? And he thought about that and he said, well, sure, honey, I just don't know how you're going to carry all these suitcases by yourself, you know. And sometimes that marital bliss and that white house with a picket fence and that dream, sometimes we get into marriage and it doesn't all go like we think it might. But you know what? Through that journey, we also discover a lot of strengths and a lot of wonderful gifts about our spouse, and we make a lot of great memories, and we need to be grateful for that. And I just want to encourage you, don't lose sight of the fact that your spouse is God's gift to you, and you vowed a vow. Notice this in your notes in Numbers chapter 30 and verse number 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. We have vowed a vow to God. I'm going to love. I'm going to cherish. I'm going to nurture till death do us part. Well, I don't know if I knew all that I was saying. None of us knew all that we were saying at that moment. We're all figuring it out. It's all a journey of understanding. But as far as I know, nobody in this room, somebody held a gun to their head at that moment and made them say that. It was of our own free will. We made a commitment to God and to our spouse. And so we need to be reminded as we start this series, I need to be an expert in meeting my spouse's needs because I need to get back to understanding they're God's gift to me. And I'm so thankful to have them. And then as I understand that my spouse is a gift from God, let her be, I must strive to protect my marriage. Protect your marriage. We should desire to exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse because we want to protect our marriage. Paul challenged the believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 7, 5, defraud ye not one the other. Paul said, don't agree to meet some needs and then stop meeting them. Don't defraud. Don't literally be a fraud because you said you would do something that you no longer are doing. Don't do that. You have to protect your relationship. We need to meet the needs of our spouse and exceed in doing so and desire to be an expert. Why? Because we want to provide protection to our spouse in this area of the relationship. Now, one spouse should not suffer in order to meet the needs of the other. But can I submit to all of us that over the next several weeks, we're probably going to take a journey where we learn to like something a little more that we don't like right now? If I'm going to love Susanna the way that God wants me to, I'm probably going to have to give a little. If Susanna's going to love me the way that God wants her to, she's probably going to have to give a little. We're probably both going to have to grow. We're both going to have to lay aside some things. We're both intentionally going to have to work to protect the relationship that God has given to us. And I know that all of us in this room desire an exceptional marriage. I believe that's why we're here. But I want to encourage all of us to be careful not to just put our head in the sand. Because the spouse that believes that even though the needs are not being met within the relationship and even though it's not going like it should, that, well, we're different. And my spouse, they would never be tempted to allow anyone else to meet any of those needs. Can I just challenge you this morning? If you have a spirit of, well, my husband and I or my wife and I, we have an understanding. This just kind of works for us. We know it's not what it could be, what it should be, but it's going to be okay. Can I just challenge you this morning to be careful? Because we have an enemy. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what the devil would like for Susanna and I? Destruction, divorce, pain, hurt, no hope, misery. Never want to go home. And when I'm home, nothing but shouting, nothing but friction, nothing but problems. That's what Satan wants. It sounds familiar? Describes a lot of home in our community, doesn't it? Why is that? Why is there so much hurt in the area of home in America today? Because there's a real live enemy who knows that God has created us and God has created marriage. And Satan wants to do everything he can to pull every marriage apart. And I just want to encourage some in this room that would say, you know what? I'm going to be a part of this series. I'm going to protect my marriage. I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow and I'm going to get better because I want to lay a layer of protection around our relationship because an affair never makes any sense. It's not logical. It's emotional. It's a fantasy. It's a made-up escape that somebody would meet the needs that are not being met now. And we need to be careful to protect our relationship. And by the way, this series is not just for needy spouses. Can I remind all of us this morning? Everybody has needs. A lot of you men married good, godly women like I did. Woman, I should say. Singular. Kenan, you may need to edit that for me, all right? It's only been one. Thank the Lord. You know what, if I'm not careful, I could fail in meeting Susanna's needs, but because she's a godly wife, she would continue to meet mine. And if I'm not careful, I could get comfortable with that. And this series needs to wrestle all of our feathers a little bit. No matter where we are in marriage, no matter how good, how bad, or anywhere in between, all of us are going to need to feel a little pressure to grow. Because there's always more we can do to exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse because everybody has a need. Your spouse is unique. Determined to be an expert, thirdly, as we close, fill the bank. Fill the bank. You say, Brother Rowe, what in the world are you talking about? Can I ask you a question? And it's not money. But I'm going to get to that, and you don't know what week, so just keep coming, all right? Guys, I'm just going to give you a heads up. You're going to want your wives to be here 2 weeks from today, all right? Now, fill the bank. Did you know that your needs keep score? Everyone, if you will, has an imaginary love bank. It's an inner scoring device inside of you. Now, most of us don't think of it that way. But every interaction that we have with somebody affects the way we think about them. We didn't know we were getting into this kind of scrutiny when we said, I do. We just kind of felt like, well, we're marrying the right person. Isn't that all that matters? When we see a marriage fail, we just say, well, they were wrong for each other. But did you know that more frequently, it actually is not because of that, but it is because the spouses lack the skills or the awareness or the ability to meet the needs of one another? And so if you and I are going to exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse, we've got to understand why they're so powerful and all-consuming. I want to give you this thought, letter A. Recognize that every interaction is a transaction. Now follow this with me this morning. Every interaction is a transaction. Now figuratively speaking, with this bank, this scoring system inside, we have an account for every person that we know, including our spouse. And they're either making deposits or withdrawals every time we interact. A pleasurable interaction brings about a deposit. A painful interaction causes a debit. And whether we understand this or not, every one of us positively or negatively affect our spouse every time we interact with them. So this has to draw our attention to the fact we can never just throw in a neutral. We can never just coast. We can never just begin to interact with our husband or with our wife and not take ownership or responsibility for what it is we're doing or what we're saying, because every interaction is a transaction. They say that in the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. They say in the second year that the woman speaks and the man listens. They say that by the third year, they're both speaking and the neighbors are listening. And sometimes if we're not careful, what used to be kind and what used to be sweet and what used to be gracious, it has gone well beyond that now. And we've got to be reminded every interaction is a transaction. We've got to be careful to take ownership and responsibility for every interaction with our spouse. Are we depositing or are we withdrawing? Can I give you a quick note here? If your relationship is not where you want it to be, and can I just encourage you? Thank you for being here, and you're in the right spot. And I think God's going to do something special in this series. I really do. But can I caution you to be careful who you talk with about it? A lot of husbands and wives are drawn away from their spouse because they begin talking to somebody about their struggles who they really should never talk with in the first place. And if you feel like you've got to talk to somebody, ask these two questions. Number one, has God led you to that person for counsel? And number two, does that person live according to the Word of God? If God has not led you to them for counsel, or if they're not living a life that measures up with this book, can I just encourage you, somebody who loves you, don't talk to them, because they're not going to help you. You've got to talk to somebody who knows the Word of God and can help you from God's perspective. That's where real help and real hope comes from. We're challenged in Psalm not to be under the counsel of the ungodly. So every interaction is a transaction. And then letter B, when empty, don't withdraw. When empty, don't withdraw. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but there may be a husband, there may be a wife in this room that's coming to this series, and if truth be told, they're feeling a little empty. They're feeling a little discouraged. They're feeling a little tired. They're kind of losing grip on hope. And can I challenge you as we launch into this study? Don't withdraw. When we're empty, our natural tendency is to withdraw, to pull back, to get quiet, to go into reserve. And I just want to encourage you, don't withdraw physically. Don't withdraw emotionally. Now is the time to make deposits. And you say, Brother Rule, but I'm so empty. I'm so tired. I'm so frustrated. We've been down this road before. How am I going to make a positive interaction with my spouse? How am I going to make a good deposit? I don't have anything to give. That's the beauty of knowing God. Because when we have nothing to give, he can give through us. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes when we're so focused on pursuing our own desires, we're setting a trap for our spouse. We're so focused on accomplishing this or accomplishing that that we've completely forgotten about them. Brother Mike leads our singing on Sunday morning, and Brother Mike came to me well over a year ago, maybe a year and a half. He said, Brother Gabe, I want you to pray with me. I'm thinking about going into academy and getting into peace officer work. We began to pray, and God began to open the doors, and I really watched Mike through that season. You know one of the things that impressed me about it? Mike made being in God's house a priority. Even though he was all the way up in Northern California for academy, he never missed one class, never missed one Sunday during that time. Drove or flew back every time. The second thing that impressed me about that season was Mike's commitment to wife and children. They had several agreements set up in their family that the family could get to him or he could get back to them, and that while this was going to be a strain on the home, they weren't going to allow the family to sacrifice for this career opportunity. And indeed, they went through that together. Some of you know Jessica and her involvement in real estate. It's interesting, as God's blessed and used some of that in her life, that there's been a real tenacity to stay faithful to God, stay faithful to her family. And it's interesting that God has allowed both of them to pursue a desire, if you will, in their own lives. But they've done it in a way that it's never competed with what was more important: God, church, spouse, family. And I just want to encourage all of us as we go into this series, let's be careful not to withdraw. Let's come into this room this morning and recognize my spouse is unique, a one of a kind, a gift from God. Lord, as we go into this series, help me to desire to grow and to be an expert. I don't want to be the way I am now. I hope in 8 or 10 weeks as we're wrapping this up that I've learned and grown a ton. And then to understand that every interaction I have with my spouse, I've got to take ownership for that. Because it's either good or bad. It's helping or it's hurting. It's a deposit or it's a debit. So I've got to be careful. And together, with that as the backdrop, let's take this journey. Exceed. Don't just meet your spouse's needs. Exceed them. And next week, we're going to learn, how can we exceed in meeting our wife's need of affection? And I want to encourage every husband at the sound of my voice, be here next Sunday. Be ready to tune in and say, God, I'm listening. I know she's your gift to me, and I want to grow and protect. So help me to come ready to learn and to receive, that together we can grow and exceed in meeting each other's needs. And it's my prayer that God is going to use this series to greatly strengthen every marriage here and many more in the community that will be reached in the days ahead. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for a privilege to come together and meet in class this morning. Lord, thank you for all that are here today, and many guests. We're so thankful that they came. We've been praying for them, some that we didn't even know, but that you would bring them, and we're so grateful that you have. And it is our prayer, Lord, that you would use this series to greatly strengthen every marriage here and many more that will be reached in the days ahead. Help all of us to desire, because our spouse is a one of a kind, and God's gift to us, that we would be determined to grow, to know our role, to do our part, to provide protection for our marriage, and to take ownership of every interaction. Lord, help us not to withdraw. Help us not to be here today and then not next Sunday, but help us to get all in, to passionately pursue being the best that we possibly can be. And Lord, through this series, we ask that you would teach us to exceed. And we promise to praise and to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.